Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. And for those of us who are sticking around here in the worship center, I'm going to invite us to find our Bibles, whether it's the book of the Bible that we brought with us this morning or the app that's on our phone. If you're at home, we invite you to find your Bible as well or your app or open another web tab on your web browser there and find our scripture passage today, which is going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So deep into the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in chapter 5, and we're going to look at two verses this morning, verses 22 and 23. So 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, and I'd love for you to leave God's word open as we read and as we study it together this morning. For those of you who are new with us, this is a little update for you. For those of us who have been around this fall here at Westview, you know that we have been declaring ourselves to be here at Westview in this fall season a recovering Christian community. That is recovering Christian community. We've not shied away by saying that the last, let's just say, year and a half or so have been difficult with all the different things that have been raging on in our world and going on. We've not shied away that saying that it has been hard. It's been hard for us as a community. It's been hard for the community at large. It's been hard for every organization and business and school and in church. And it's been especially hard in our relationships, as a lot of the things that have happened in this world have sought to pull us apart and have caused divisiveness and division. And so we here at Westview have said, you know, we're going to take a stand. We're going to name something. We're going to declare something that we believe that even though there's been difficulties in the past and even though those difficulties continue in the present, we want to name that there's a different way. That even though we ourselves are perhaps in a moment of recovery, we want to be proactive and seek to recover and pursue edifying, healthy, God-honoring relationships with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And we would hope then that as we grow in our relationships with one another, that we can be a light and a witness, that it doesn't have to be this way, it doesn't have to be so polarized, it doesn't have to be so divisive, that even though we might be different in our thoughts and our ideas and our political leanings, we can still live in healthy, God-honoring relationships with one another, that even though we are in recovery ourselves, we are actively recovering Christian community. And here in 1 Thessalonians 5, we looked at a lot of Paul's words for us. What does it mean then to live as a recovering Christian community? We've talked about things like respecting each other and pursuing peace with one another and praying for each other and having joy and encouraging one another. So lots of great things we've talked about. And we have another great, important lesson from Paul here this morning. I'm excited to talk about our passage today. And so we're going to get right to it this morning. Would you pray with me? And then we'll read God's word. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful again for this time that we get to spend together this morning. Spend time in prayer, spend time singing, spend time fellowshipping with one another, but also in these few moments that we get to gather and center ourselves around your word, we are grateful for this time. And so, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you would lead us into and through this time. That the words that are going to be said are going to be your words. That everything that is heard on each one of our hearts coming from our own situations and our own past weeks that we've had and walked in this place or we're logging on with all the things going on in our minds, we pray that the Spirit will lay upon us the words that we need to hear. And God, we pray that by the same power of the Holy Spirit, we can go and live according to the truth of your words today. We are grateful for this time. We lift it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's not every day that I quote a Danish philosopher. So today is a momentous day. You might want to write this down. The Danish philosopher that I'm going to quote is a man named Soren Kierkegaard. Maybe some of you have heard of him before. And I love what he writes here. We're going to put it up on the screen so you can follow along as I read it aloud. This is what he writes. God creates out of nothing. Wonderful, you say. Yes, to be sure, but he does what is still more wonderful. He makes saints out of sinners. That's good, isn't it? It's rich. You can see why I would want to quote a Danish philosopher. That's not my jam, usually, Danish philosophers, but I love what he says here. In fact, I just want to read this again. Just let these words soak in. God creates out of nothing. Wonderful, you say. I mean, it is wonderful, right? Out of nothing, God created all things. Yes, to be sure. But he does what is still more wonderful. He makes saints out of sinners. You know, it's that last line that captures my heart today. And I think it highlights our focus this morning as a recovering Christian community. God makes saints out of sinners. Our word today is sanctification. And believe me, I know that that word does not show up at all in our scripture passage, although the word sanctify does. And sanctification and sanctify come from the same Latin root of word sanctus, which means holy. Sanctify means to be holy or to purify or to set apart for a sacred purpose. And so sanctification then is that process. Sanctification is a process that is a part of every single life who comes to know and love and follow Jesus Christ. Sanctification is a part of the Christian life. And it is a process that begins the moment of our conversion to Jesus. In that moment when we recognize that we are sinful and we are in need of a Savior. And in that moment when we say, well, Jesus is the Savior that I need. In that moment in which we ask God to forgive us of our sins and work his free gift of salvation in our life. In that moment where our status is forever changed from sinner to saint. In that moment, the split second after that moment, the process of sanctification begins. The process of becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Of leaving behind the old ways of sin and living each moment into our new identity as a saint. And it is a process that continues on every day, every day, every day until we breathe our last breath. Or until Jesus comes again and makes all things new and all things whole. That's sanctification. Sanctification is this process of us becoming holy, like God is holy. It begins at our conversion to Christ. It's us becoming more like Christ. And it happens until the coming of Christ. That's sanctification. And if I could, I'd like to invite you just for a moment to imagine something with me. Imagine if we here in this place, imagine if we would devote ourselves to the work of sanctification. Imagine the impact that would have on a recovering Christian community. That is, we as a community would devote ourselves to this work, to this process of sanctification, that we would set our hearts and our souls on pursuing holiness more and more, that our ambition is to become more like Christ, that is our goal of our life, to become more like Jesus, to live our lives like that of Jesus, to each moment, and that every day we take another step forward towards Christ-likeness. That we would want to grow in patience like Christ. That we would want to have compassion like Christ. That we would develop a commitment like Christ. That we would cultivate a thoughtfulness like Christ. That we would earnestly seek after God like Christ. That we would balance grace and truth like Christ, and so much more. And if each one of us gave ourselves over to the work of sanctification in this way, imagine with me for a moment how that might affect how we live in relationships with each other. What that would mean for us as a recovering Christian community. I'm grateful for Paul's words here. What I find in Paul's words is that he gives us both direction and encouragement for such a pursuit. And I think it starts in the very first word that he says. Verse 22, first word is avoid. It's a command, it's an imperative. It means to be distant, it means to have separation, it means to keep away. From what? Paul goes on and says, from every kind of evil. From every kind, every form, every manifestation of sin. Every kind. Not just the sin of sight, you know, what my eyes might be tempted to see. Not just the sin of our words, what my tongue might be tempted to say. Not just the sin of thought, or the things that I might come up with in my mind. Not just the sin of a judgmental attitude. Not just the sin of an uber fascination of money. Not just a sin of sexual exploitation like in pornography. Not just a sin of greediness or jealousy or gossip, or tearing one down with our words, or holding a grudge, or lying, or anything like that. Not just those things, or anything else we can come up with, but it says to be sanctified is to avoid every kind of evil, to distance ourselves from any and all forms of sin. How do we do that? Is my question. Maybe that's your question as well, because I read the words, avoid every kind of evil, and the reality is what? We live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world that is sinful. We live in a world that is scarred by sin. There is sin and evil lurking behind every kind of door. How do we do this? When I think about the world that we live in, it sort of then feels like my poor friend. I'm going to show you a picture here in this photo here. You know, if we imagine that behind the dam is the sin and we're supposed to avoid every kind of sin, it's kind of like living in the world is like, well, where there's a dam that's springing some leaks. And we might be able to plug one hole with one finger and plug another hole with another finger and maybe even plug a hole with a foot. But, you know, the leaks keep coming, right? And I might be able to avoid one particular sin, or I might be able to hold myself to a standard where I avoid another kind of sin, but the leaks keep coming more and more, and all of a sudden I start to look like my other friend here in the next picture. The leaks keep coming. There's more and more. There's more than I have fingers and hands and toes to all cover up. And all of a sudden the water starts to rise. Because temptation is everywhere. And sin is everywhere. And evil is around every avenue of life. You ever feel this way? Like our friend here, it's like, oh my goodness, I'm trying. And it keeps rising. Maybe we've heard a message before. Maybe we've heard a sermon before. Maybe you heard it from this stage. Maybe you heard it from my lips. A sermon about sanctification. A sermon about living more like Jesus.
And we leave that message, we leave that worship service, and we're like, yeah, I want to live more like Jesus. I want to pursue Jesus. I want to be holy like God is holy. I want to do those things. We're fired up, and then we go out, and it's like, evil is lurking, and temptation is tempting, and it is so hard. Those old habits are hard to lock away. Sin keeps breaking in like water through a dam, and it's hard. As hard as we try, it is hard to avoid every kind of evil. That's why I think verse 23 is a great complement to verse 22. Paul moves from a command in verse 22 to offering a prayer in verse 23. And the prayer starts with these words. May God himself, stop right there. May God himself. See, in the work of sanctification, in this process, there is a critical part that is ours to play. In this sense, what we've talked about today is we want to avoid every kind of evil. In a sense, we are wanting to orient ourselves toward God. We want to walk away from sin, avoid every kind of evil, and we want to orient ourselves with God. We want to put ourselves in the best position possible that we can face God. We can do the practices and the spiritual disciplines so that we can focus on God. We want to focus and orient ourselves towards God. That is our work. But it also is a part of sanctification as we must recognize the work of God. May God himself, Paul says, God is the one who does the actual work of sanctifying us. I can't sanctify myself. I can't sanctify you. You can't sanctify me. You can't sanctify yourself. I can't stand up here this morning and just think myself and will myself to be more sanctified. I can't do, you know, jumping jacks. I can't do push-ups in order to exercise myself into more being more sanctified. I can't just read more or just pray more or just serve more or just worship more, and all of a sudden I'm going to be more sanctified. I mean, those things are good. Don't get me wrong. All those things that we do, they're good things. You know, maybe not jumping jacks or push-ups. That might not be so sanctifying, but you know, it is good to fill our hearts and minds with God's word. That's good. It's good to spend time conversing with God in prayer. It's good to use the gifts and skills God has given us and put them into practice, as we said last week. It's good to spend time worshiping God and so much more. It's good to practice these things of spiritual disciplines and to all of it, to orient ourselves so I can focus more on God, so I can be more attentive to him. It's good to do those things, but just doing those things, that's not me sanctifying myself. But it's when I do those things, when I orient myself, when I seek to avoid sin and orient myself to God, and I pray and I'm reading and I'm serving and I'm worshiping and all the other spiritual practices, when I do that, then God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, does the work of sanctification within me. Listen again to verse 23, how it starts. Paul says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. God does the work of sanctification in my life and in your life. We have a part to play. We seek to avoid every kind of evil. We orient ourselves to God. And then we pray. God, would you do the work? God, by your Holy Spirit, do the work of sanctification in my life. God, you are a holy God, and I want to be more like you. God, I want my life to mirror the life of the one that I love, Jesus Christ. God, would you please sanctify me? I love verse 23. It is Paul praying for you and for me. God, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. What a gift that is that Paul prays for us. What an example that is for us that we too then can pray that God would sanctify us. But even more than that, what an example this is that not only would I pray for myself to be sanctified, But what an example that as Paul prays for me, Paul is encouraging me to pray for you. And that we would pray for each other. And what did that look like? What would that mean for us as a recovering Christian community that we are praying for each other? We say, God, move me. God, change me. God, move us. God, change us. Change us from corrupt to compassionate. God, move us from lust to love. God, change us from greedy to generous. God, move us from attacking to adoring. God, change us from being jealous to being just. God, change us from showing partiality but to having patience. God, change us, move us from sinner to saints. In the work of sanctification, we are invited to participate. Avoid every kind of evil. Orient ourselves to God. And then, God, would you do the work of sanctification in our life? There's still something more here, though. There's still something else in these verses. I can't read these verses and this does not pop off the page at me. Maybe you noticed it as well, but what I see here as Paul is giving us a command and Paul is inviting us to pray, giving us an example, offering a prayer for us, well, what I notice in these verses is the emphasis on the absolute. Did you see it? You know, it shows up in verse 22. We kind of talked about it already. We're not going to say much about this, but let me give you the example. In verse 22, it says, avoid not some, not a little, not most, but what does he say? Avoid every kind of evil. Right, jump to verse 23. We look at it again. Verse 23, it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Every time you say through and through, I'm going to go through and through, just all around, right? Through and through. I love that idea. Through and through. It's like we're kneading bread, right? Through and through. The word there, the Greek word is holoteles. You're going to say that one with me today. Holoteles. All right, you ready? Holoteles. Say it one more time. Holoteles. Yeah, very good. Holoteles, a very simple definition of holoteles is entirely. Entirely. Even more than that, holoteles means complete in every way. Perfect. Whole. That's holoteles. I like how the NIV says it. I my Bible here is the NIV. I like how it says it. Through and through, every bit and part, whole, complete, holoteles. And then there's more. Look at the next part of the verse, the next sentence. The wholeness of a person is named by Paul here in the next sentence. He says, may your whole, we'll stop right there first. May your whole, right? That's the word holokleros. Do you hear the similarities? Holoteles and holokleros coming from the same root there, right? And so we have another word. I'm not going to make you say holokleros, right? One's enough for today, right? But holokleros, it means whole. It means complete. It means entirely. And so Paul is saying here, holokleros, may your whole spirit, may your whole soul, may your whole body. And we don't have enough time this morning to get in the real nitty-gritty details and start splitting hairs between spirit and soul and body. Here's what I need you to know this morning, though, is that any time in Scripture, any time it's mentioned spirit, soul, and body, any time those are put together, what is being meant is the entirety of a person, every bit of the person, the wholeness of the person. And so what is Paul saying here? Are you starting to grasp this here? Paul is saying that every part of the person, every bit of the person, spirit, soul, and body, the holokleros, the whole spirit, the whole soul, the whole body, holoteles, through and through, says be kept blameless, above reproach. And so what is Paul saying here? And even more importantly, what does this mean for sanctification?
We can maybe say it this way. Here's the JVL dumbed down for me version of how I understand this. Paul is praying here in this sentence, in this verse. He's praying that God will sanctify our everything of everything in all our parts and of in every way. Got all that? Let me read that again. That God will sanctify our everything of everything of all our parts in every way. Our everything of all of us in every way. I'd love for you to read that with me, okay? Get that in our minds. And you at home, you read with us as well. Are you ready? We're going to pray. Paul is praying here that God will sanctify our everything of all our parts in every way. Real good. Good job. Our everything of all our parts in every way. Paul is praying that that all of that will be set apart. That all of that will be purified. That all of that will be made holy. Now, why is that important? Why am I spending all these moments talking about the emphasis on the absolute? All of this, what we're talking about here, everything of all our parts in every way. Why is this important? Honestly, because of sin. Because of this theological doctrine that we have called total depravity. Have you heard of this before? Total depravity basically says that sin corrupts our everything of all our parts in every way. Total depravity says that there's not one single molecule, there's not one single cell, there's not one single atom, neutron, proton, electron that is not affected, not untouched by the devastating and death-decreeing effects of sin. Our everything of all our parts in every way is touched by sin. And yet God, through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and through his glorious resurrection from the dead, God offers the forgiveness of sin, and he offers the free gift of salvation. And in Christ, our everything of all our parts in every way that has been corrupted by sin, those sins are forgiven. And from that moment, and from every single moment on, after that moment of forgiveness, after that moment of salvation, we are now in the work of sanctification, in which God is indeed doing something wonderful. He's taking a sinner, now a saint, and forming and shaping and molding us into this new identity through this process of sanctification, to the extent that where sin once reigned in our everything of all our parts in every way, now that we've been touched by the grace of Jesus Christ, now that we've been enveloped by the unconditional love of God, now holiness can take effect. Now holiness can invade. Now holiness can permeate within us and can thoroughly occupy our everything of all our parts in every way. Friends, that is the power, that is the importance, and that is the wonder of sanctification. And what I need us to do again this morning is just again take a step back and imagine with me for a moment. Of all the stuff we've talked about now around sanctification, just think for a moment with me. Think about the impact that sanctification can have on a recovering Christian community. Imagine if we all would give ourselves over wholly, completely, to the work of sanctification in our lives. That we all together would move forward toward Christ-likeness. That each one of us would seek to avoid every kind of evil and orient ourselves towards God and participate in those practices of which we can come to know God more. And through that, we can pray, God, yourself, would you sanctify us through and through our whole spirit, whole soul, whole body, all of us in every way, be made blameless and be kept blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, now and forever. Imagine with me if all of us, that in all of us, our everything of all our parts in every way, we were all pursuing holiness like our God is holy. And imagine then the things that would concern us and the things that would not concern us. Imagine then how we would treat one another and how we treat those around us.
Imagine then how differences could be set aside and how we could live in even greater authenticity with one another. Imagine then the witness and the testimony that then could arise out of this place into our community and into our world, where there's a group of people who sure are different than one another, sure have differences, sure have different thoughts about any number of opinions, but it's a group of people who are bound together through their common faith in Jesus Christ and who are together committed around a common purpose of pursuing to become more and more like Jesus Christ every day in every way. That is a wonderful work of God. That is the wonder of sanctification. God doing something wonderful here in this place, turning sinners into saints. Amen. Let's pray together. God, our prayer is relatively simple this morning. You know, first we just give you thanks and praise for the work you have done in our lives, for loving us even when we were unlovely, and sending your Son Jesus Christ for our salvation. Thank you for granting forgiveness of sins. Thank you for offering the free gift of salvation. This is the core of our faith, and this is that which upon our identity rests. And we are forever grateful, God. And we thank you, God, for what you are doing and what you continue to do in our lives, for this indeed wonderful work of making saints out of sinners. And God, helping to continue to further transform us into that sainthood through this process of sanctification. We are so grateful that as we do our part to orient ourselves to you, God, that you accept us right where we're at. And no matter where we're at this moment, as we orient ourselves to you, through the power of the Spirit, you continue to transform our lives so that they would mirror the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So God, this is a prayer of thanks that we give to you today. And it's a prayer of request. We ask this morning that you would continue to do this good work in our lives. That as we come to know Jesus more through study of word, as we come to know your heart more through times of prayer with you, as we come to know the blessing it is to serve and to use our gifts, as we come to know the glorious rest that is found as we worship and adore you, we want to grow more and more in holiness and in righteousness and in faithfulness. We want to be holy, God, as you are holy. We want our lives and the way of our lives to reflect the way of Jesus Christ. We want our lives to witness in every moment. So God, we pray together this morning that you would continue the work of sanctification within us. And we pray that this then would have a dramatic impact on our lives and our relationships with each other. That as each one of us pursues Christ-likeness, that we will continue to be united together with one another. And in the shared focus of pursuing Christ-likeness, then that would bring about unity and encouragement and like-mindedness and so much more, that through sanctification, healing can occur and hope, your hope, can abound. So hear our prayer this day, Lord. Hear our prayers this day as well for the many prayers that lay upon our hearts this morning, for health and for healing, for comfort for those who mourn, those who have passed, for joy as for those who celebrate new life, for neighbors and for neighborhoods, for our schools and places of work, for our communities, our nation, our world. We pray for each and all. And in all this, we pray that the good news about Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ would reach the ends of this earth today and always, we ask. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.